Ooh, paying attention. That was a test. I was thinking about that all day today. Goes to show how we got to pay attention. And that's probably why I forgot my pad. It probably was for me. Good job, y'all. Pass. Because we're going to see, that Eleazar had to pay attention to what Abraham told him. So that was just a test. I was thinking about that today. I said, boy, I'm going to catch somebody. I guess the joke was on me. All right. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be here tonight. Hiya, Sarah. Look, we moving along in this. I know a couple of guys try to take shortcuts, but there's no shortcutting in this. So we're going to hit the rewind button. Because we haven't even talked about Levon yet. And Levon is important. You know, he's mentioned 55 times. His name comes up. So I think it's something we should at least take a look at. But let's get to it. We got a little ways to go. And Genesis chapter 24, and verse 20. I'm going to start here in verse 20. And she hurried and emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the fountain to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Now we know where we're at in this scene right here, if we've been keeping up. You know. And I was looking at that, the verse, and I said, well, it don't really mean a whole lot, you know, maybe. But on the spiritual side, how many know it's up to us to run to that fountain? Because there are a lot of people that's dry out there, need water, that they don't know how to access it. So to me, on the spiritual side, that's what I've seen in that. But how we do this? In humbleness and in meekness. So this is a little something that I looked at. So just hold your finger right there. Let's look at Galatians. Chapter 6, verse 1. Oh, did I? Oh, I'm in chapter 1, that's why. I'm like, something ain't right here. Chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if a man is overtaken in some trespass, you, the spiritual ones, seek such one straight in a spirit of meekness, looking at yourself, lest you be tried too. You know, because there's people out there, we just can't bring the hammer on them. We got to know how our actions, how as representatives of Yeshua, our conduct matters. And the scriptures is teaching us that, how to deny ourselves, and how we speak to people. Because we know, look, if you're going to see when Eleazar is speaking to Levon and the crew out there, look, he's over there, just them two or three guys by themselves. You know, he's out of his area. He don't have a bunch of bodyguards, so it matters what we do, where we go, how our conduct is, and how we speak to one another. And Matthew, this is what Shaul wrote us in Galatians 6:1. You know, in the spirit of meekness, how we handle situations. You know, sometimes we want to just show our feathers, but that's not what he's asking us to do. So let's see what our master says. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, do not judge, lest ye be judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. These are important principles for us to learn. And with the same measure you use, it shall be measured to you. So what you measure out, how you treat others, expect that to come back to you. And why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the plank in your eye? What a question from Yeshua. He's trying to teach us something. Examine ourselves. Especially when situations arise, because one thing we got to learn as students is self-control. That's probably one of the biggest things we have to deal with. It's not toward our spouse, toward our mom, toward our dad, to our children. These are great principles for us to learn. I'm so glad we're on this journey. We've come a long ways, I tell you. Or how is it that you say to your brother, let me remove the splinter out of your eye and see a plank is in your eye? This is the words of our master. You hypocrite. Verse 5. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you shall see clear to remove the splinter out of your brother's eye. Great principles for us to learn. So here he is, Eleazar, and he's fixing to have to humble himself, and we're going to see that in the scripture. We're going to go back to that, but this is just a little something. When I was looking at that, I thought that kind of stuck out and be a good spot to start. because he's watching her, she's hurrying, and he needs to know, you know, what he's going to say, because he's about to meet some people he never met before. I don't, since Abraham left, he's probably never seen these people in this new generation that's coming up. And watching her, verse 21, the man remained silent in order to know whether Yehovah had prospered his way or not. Very, very interesting. Sometimes, isn't there a time, how did Kenny Rogers sing that song? There's a time to hold them and a time to fold them. So sometimes, you know, just because you might have the word, sometimes you just listen sometime first. Think, hear the situation before we just blabber out. That's one thing we have to learn. In verse 22, and it came to be, when the camels had finished drinking, and the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Please inform me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? Now we know that this nose ring and this bracelet, you can go to the slides and look, I think it starts in 200 and it ends at 216. I'm not going to jump on that. You can go back and look that up. But to me, when I was looking at it, I think the world's way as putting this nose ring, and I'm not against piercing, don't take this wrong, but we're going to see in the scripture, where the scripture says he places it on her nose. He never said he pierced her. So I don't know. And maybe they did. I don't know. I can't find it. I look high and low. But we're going to see what, let us set what the scripture says. Because I'm going to show you a spot where piercing, where the nose ring is meant to lead you. So I don't know. Maybe that was the case. And maybe I might be missing it. I'm not 100% sure. But let me just hear the matter before we throw the stones. So, but anyway, you see right here that he's decking her out. A young lady, probably never seen all this before, what's unfolding in front of her eye. I don't even know if she knows what this is all about yet. So, but let's see how our master, before I go any further, let's see how our master wants to treat us and deck us out as servants of his, as a wife, as a bride that he's coming back for. In Devarim chapter 7, in verse 6, so I have a few verses of scripture to cover. Then I promise we're going to get right back on the trail. For you are a set apart people to Yehovah, your Elohim. Yehovah, your Elohim, has chosen you to be a people for himself, a treasured possession above all the peoples on the face of the earth. You're special. And this is what these bracelets and this nose ring is going to symbolize. It's going to symbolize ownership, for one thing, and royalty. Because not everybody will have bracelets and walk around with nose pieces, nose rings. I think the world just took this piercing deal to a whole nother level. And let me point it all out first. In verse 7, Yehovah did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more numerous than any other peoples, for you are the least of all peoples. But because Yehovah loving you, and because of him guarding the oath which he swore to your fathers, Yehovah has brought you out with a strong hand and ransomed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, sovereign of Mizraim. We were stuck in the iron furnace. We needed him. He loved us. Not because we're more numerous. And when I look around, we're not more numerous. I can tell you that. But because he loves us. And we should love our master. In Shemot, Exodus 19. Verse 5. And now, if you diligently obey my voice and shall guard my covenant, then you shall be my treasured possession above all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. He owns it all. He owns every bit of it. In 1 Peter, he said, why are we cherry picking? They're just Don't see it as cherry picking. I'm just trying to hit the highlights because we work with short time here. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, knowing that you are redeemed from your futile behavior, inherited from your fathers, not with what is corruptible, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but manifested in these last times for your sakes, who through him believed in Elohim, who raised him from the dead and gave him esteem, so that your belief and expectation are in Elohim. He loves us. Because we can go back in memory lane, and memory lane doesn't look good. But by his blood, you're clean slate, second chances. My brother just blew on the shofar. Second chance. That first sound didn't come out good, but that second one, knock your eardrums out. Look, get used to that. We're going to hear that one day. But we have to stay true to his word. Amen. Now that you have been cleansed, your lives in obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfrightened brotherly love, love one another fervently with a clean heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the living word of Elohim, which remains forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the esteem of man as the flower of the grass. And you remember how I said that last week? We have no esteem. That goes to show it's like grass. It will fade away. If you think James said, when you look in the mirror, you think you're somebody, you deceive yourself. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Elohim remains forever. And this is the word I announce as good news to you. So I'm here to bring good news tonight. That's what we're commissioned to do. Go over one chapter. Chapter 2, verse 9. Why? Why I want to bring the good news? Because you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a people for our possession, that you should proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why? Because once you were not a people, but now the people of Elohim, who have not attained compassion, but now obtain compassion. We have to reciprocate that same compassion, because now you are people of Elohim. We were lost and undone, and we needed a Savior. Now, because of the price that Yeshua paid for our lives, I can read this word and stand true to it. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, look at verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the dwelling place of the set apart Spirit who is in you, which you have from Elohim, and you are not your own? I know we know that by now. We should know that by now. That we belong to him. So everything we do matters. For you were bought with a price. What price was that? I just read it. The blood that was shed for us. Therefore esteem Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are of Elohim. Why? Because we are made in his likeness and in his image. We represent him. And that's what we see Eleazar doing. Abraham wasn't there doing the negotiating, but he already had the word. So he had to pay attention. No different than us today. We have to pay attention to his word. Now this next passage of scripture was beautiful. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1 through 14. Again, the word of Yehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations. Because this is going to show us our state that we were in. At least, I'm going to speak for me, that I was in. Not we, I was in. Thus says the Master Yehovah to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. Bad combination. No, it don't even mix right. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water for cleansing, and you were not rubbed with salt at all, nor wrapped in cloth at all. Now that rubbing with salt, I thought that was a little interesting. I didn't know they did that to babies back in the day. You learn some stuff when you read the scripture. And the rubbing with salt was to ensure tough skin and good hygiene. So I thought that was real interesting when I read that. No eye felt sorry for you to do any of these for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field to the loathing of your life on the day you were born. And I passed by you and saw you trampling down in your own blood. And I said to you in your blood, live. We heard that word the other night at Bible study at Granny and Papa's. And I say to you in your blood, live. How awesome is that? Let me give you the Strong's on that. H2421. Haya. Listen to these definitions. He's got a lot of ya in it. I wonder why, because he's telling you to live. To live, to have life, to continue in life, remain alive, to sustain life, to live on or upon, to live prosperously, have life, live forever, be alive, be restored to life or health, etc. Because there's more definition. I couldn't write it all down. Haya. Goes to a root word, hava. So we got Yah, Va, and it's H2331 to tell, declare, show, make known. This is where you come in at. That's why I come in at. This is what I'm doing because, wow, I was in that state of blood, couldn't help myself. Which led to another root word, Hava. So we got Yah, Va, Ah. What a coincidence. H2324, to show, interpret, explain, inform, tell, declare. This is why we're here tonight. Yehovah. How many know that's what that links to? If you really want to dig deep, you can find what the word is teaching you. We just have to be, remember, you got to be fettered down to the floor and let him teach you. Because I look, in my prayer time this week, I don't know anything. You have to teach me. If not, I can't teach this stuff. I don't even see this. It's just amazing. Live, he said. I have let you grow like a plant in the field, and you are grown and are great, and you come in the finest ornaments. Wow. Breasts were formed, your hair grew, and you were naked and bare. Again, I passed by you. There's your second chance again. He passed by us again, and he looked upon you and saw that your time was the time of carnal love. We're going to see that in Rivka, because it's getting to her time. She's about to be married to a husband. And I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness, and I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, declared the Master Yehovah. And I washed you in water, and I washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil, and I dressed you in embroidered work, and gave you sandals of leather, and I wrapped you in fine linen, and covered you with silk, and I adorned you with ornaments, and I put bracelets on your wrists, and a chain on your neck, and I put a ring on your nose. So, and it's going to say that again. So that's why I say I don't know about this piercing. Maybe we could talk about this in Midrash. But I believe it was some form of a clamp style. And I put a ring on your nose and earrings in your ears and a crown of adorning on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver and dressed you, and your dress was of fine linen and silk and embroidered cloth. And you ate fine flour and honey and all. And you were exceedingly beautiful and became fit for royalty. Didn't I just give you that definition of what Rivka just received? Royalty. This is what this represents. So I hope you see that in the scripture. I'm not going to read 15 through 63. For the simple fact, it gets ugly. Very ugly. You can do this on your private time at your home. Because it shows you when you leave him, when you leave your husband, it shows you how bad it gets for you. And I'm telling you, it's terrible. But I'm telling you, it's the word. It's the truth. But not tonight. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, that one verse of scripture to look at. Well, a couple of them. 33 verses, I said 1 and 2, I'm sorry. Look at verse 10. And Jehovah spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they did not listen. Go figure that. Therefore, Jehovah brought upon them the commanders of the army of the sovereign of Ashur, who captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze shackles, and made him go to Babel. Now these hooks, that's the chain that hooks you, that's the piercing. I'm going to give you the definition of it. It's H2336, Hoba, KHO-ABH. From an unusual root, apparently meaning to pierce, a thorn, by analogy, a ring for the nose, bramble, thistle, or thorn. So I don't believe that Eleazar pierced her nose. Maybe, like I said, maybe I could be wrong. That's something we can look at in Midrash. Because we see when piercing the nose, let me tell you, if I pierce your nose and put a clamp on your nose, I'll lead you anywhere I want to. They do this to animals. You can go look this stuff up. So I really don't think that was the case. But we can take a look at it. So back to Genesis. And said, whose daughter are you? Please inform me, verse 23, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? What a great question. Didn't Yeshua say that in John 14? In my father's house, many staying places. He said, I'll go and make room for you. You can go right to that story. This stuff will preach, I'm telling you. And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, who she bore to Nahor. And she said to him, we have both straw and fodder enough and room to spend the night. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped Jehovah. And he said, blessed be Jehovah, Elohim of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving commitment and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, Jehovah has led me to the house of my master's brothers. How many of you glad that you never forsaken his loving commitment toward us and his truth toward us? Yeah. I'm so thankful to be here today speaking his word and just, and you know, living. And look, it's challenging. I'm telling you, it's very challenging. Look, I feel the pressure of Eleazar, because he's got to dare to deliver a message. And I thought about this all week. I got to come here and I be prepared to deliver a message. It's too late to wait for the day to get the message. So you got to be prepared and you got to spend that time. So let me tell you, it's a load to carry. It really is. Now you're really starting to see through the pastor's eyes how he feels. You got to do this every week, preparing. Because look, the week goes by fast. We're on the second week of Shabbat. Counting. Oh boy. In verse 20, and he said, blessed be Jehovah, Elohim, my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving commitment, his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, Jehovah led me to the house of my master's brothers. And the young woman ran and informed those of her mother's house these matters. Now, I thought that was very interesting that it mentioned her mother's house. When just a verse up, it says, I'm the daughter of Bethuel. Now, you're going to see his name only comes up one more time. So there's something going on with the daddy that the scripture is not telling us. And unfortunately, I tried to dig to see what I can find about it. There's some stuff out there that make you, but we don't see it. So we don't have everything. So it's hard to just throw a guess on there. But one of the guesses is that, I'm going to tell you when I get to it. Let me not just jump ahead. But I'll bring it to our attention. But she goes into her mother's house and informed these matters instead of saying her father's house. So why did the writer do that? Let me know. And Rivka had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man to the fountain. You know, we covered the fountain last week. And it came to be when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rivka saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went out to the man and saw him standing by the camels at the fountain. Now, you're going to see a lot of personal pronouns, a lot of he, him. So when you read this stuff, you really got to go slow, take your time to see who's the he, who's the him, who's the his, because this stuff gets a little, if you read too fast, you'll miss it. But Rivka said, the man, she don't even know his name. You think she's excited? Getting going, but she just served this guy, watered his camel. She didn't even ask him his name. Now, she didn't do nothing, you know, not polite, but she's a young girl. You can expect that from a young girl. How old, whatever age we think she might have been. But she runs and she tells it into her mother's house. Now, let's look at Laban. I told you, it was mentioned 55 times. I don't know if anybody peeked into his name. His name is H3837 White. My mother-in-law was like, White. Oh, I'm sorry. 3837. 3837. Now we look at this and look, this is the kind of stuff that you have to ask yourself about. What has this got to do with White? How does he live up to his name? How does that even fit in the scripture? At least it goes to a root word, Laban, to be white, to make white, become white, purify, to show whiteness, grow white, to become white, and be purified. And that's in the hip fill and the hip pail. And the Kalia form is to make bricks. It's H3843. Lavana, tile, brick, pavement. This is, I'm like, I don't know where this is going. How do you be white, become white, or make white? I know we made little jokes when we were kids. If you're white, you're all right. If you're black, you're back. If you're red, you're dead. If you're brown, you're round. So I'll be here for a little while. I couldn't wait to get that out. But this almost sounds a little racial right here when you get into that. White? What do you mean? How you be white? Well, his character is not really showing. I have to show you in the scripture now. We're going to leave here. We have to see what white is, what white really is, what it really represents. Because this, to me, Laban, is more like an off-white. He's not really living up to his name. Why? Because he sees the bracelets. He sees the nose ring. In Matthew chapter 23, let's look for the words of our master first. In 23 and verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly indeed look well, but inside you are filled with dead man's bones and uncleanness. So you too outwardly indeed appear righteous to men, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's our master. This is how Levon, if you take on that image of Levon, this is what you look like to the master. Oh boy. See, sometimes it just, look, it's the stinging part of the word, because you know that when we're going to get to Deborah, she's a bee. That's Rivka's nurse, by the way. You'll get that in Bereshit 35. You can find her name. But we hadn't got to that part yet. But I'm just going to tell you. So this is how the word stings sometimes. It's not always being popular, but this is the word of our master. Some people probably wouldn't even want to say that in the church. But this is what it is. In Revelations, now we're going to really see what white looks like. Chapter 19. And let's take it from verse 11. And I saw the heaven open, and there was a white horse. It's amazing how we went from last week talking about a horse and a fetlock, and we heard this week on a white horse. And he who sat on him was called trustworthy and true, and in righteousness he judges and fights. You know, Brother Chad made a statement the other day. We waited, Riff was about to see a man that never seen him before in his life. We've been waiting all this time. We've never seen the master. We're just getting a little glimpse of his word, because on the spiritual side, you can see him through his word. But I'm going to show you, we have to look at what white really looks like. And his eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, having a name that had not been written, which no one had perceived except him. Why? Because when you go to chapter 2, verse 17, it talks about that white stone that you'll get when you make it there, and which nobody knows except the person who receives that stone. Let me give you the definition, before I read on, let me give you the definition of white. It's G3022, Leucos. It's light, bright, brilliant. Brilliant from whiteness, dazzling white, of garments of angels, and of those exalted to the splendor of the heavenly. You have to let him exalt you, though, to get there. Heavenly state, shining or white garments worn on festive or state occasions. I mean, you know, we're going to have an occasion we're going to meet. We're all going to be dressed in white. It ain't going to be that Levon white. I can promise. This is pure, because it's going to tell us that. The state occasions of white garments as the sign of innocence and purity of the soul. Next definition is dead white. I thought that was interesting. Of the whitening color of ripening grains. Oh, boy, that stuff will preach right there, I'm telling you. Because when you go to Yohanan, chapter 4, verse 35 and 36, just pause your finger right there for a second. I'm gonna come right back to that. Let me give you that definition right here of whitening grain, what the master said. That's how we're always pointing back to the master, because we're gonna repeat what he says. Did you not say there are still 4 months and the harvest comes? See, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields, for they are white for harvest already. He who is reaping receives a reward and gathers fruit for everlasting life, so that both he who is sowing and he who is reaping rejoice together. Hallelujah. I hope y'all writing these scriptures down, because this is what white looks like. And then you can do like I did. Go on your phone and go look at whitening fields of grain. This is what he's making reference to. That's what that definition was just talking about. Color of ripening grain. Because it's white, it's ready for the harvest. I believe we're getting close. Some of you are looking brighter and brighter every week I'm coming here. Man, I'm telling you. If y'all don't believe that, then we got to start all over. We got to go back to the beginning. Back to Revelations chapter 19. And his eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, having the name that had been written, which no one had perceived except himself. And having been dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yehovah. Now he just told, we don't know his name, but all these names fit him. We probably don't know what was on that stone. We don't know what's on that stone. But all these other names that we read about, this is who he is. Trustworthy and true. The Word of Yehovah. And the armies, listen to this, and the armies in the heaven, dressed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Hallelujah. You'll be dressed in white, looking like your master, riding a white horse with your master. Because you know when you go dig this stuff up, you know these tyrants and generals over the years that war, and there was only one riding on a white horse. All the rest, they had to look like whoever else, they spotted horse or whatever. But this, he's telling you're going to be on a white horse with him. How amazing is that? I was blown away reading all this stuff, digging into this, finding all these gold nuggets or whatever, or rubies or whatever you want to call them. This is very valuable, much more precious than gold. Follow him on white horses, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. Let me tell you something about iron. It's strong. And it can be rusty, it's still strong. You can let it rust for a long time, it still remains a strength. Iron takes, it can take a lot of heat, it can take punishment, and you can melt it, you can bend the shape, and when it cools, it's strong. So why are you going to rule with a rod of iron? That's just an illustration he's giving you. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of El Shaddai. He's coming to do business. Just like Abraham's servant coming to do business, he's coming to do business. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, Sovereign of Sovereign and Master of Master. I love that verse of scripture. And I saw one messenger standing in the sun. Wow. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in mid-heaven. Uh-oh. So when you look up and you see the sun, the moon, the star, that's mid-heaven. Come, gather together for the supper of the great Elohim, to eat the flesh of sovereigns, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of strong ones, and the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. Let me tell you something. If you wait until this time to get your mind right, you're too late. I can tell you. Because we're about to read it right here. And I saw the beasts and the sovereigns of the earth, and the armies gathered together to fight him who sat on the horse and his army. Really? People still think they're going to win. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he led astray those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. The two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, burning with sulfur. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. That's going to be a great day. That's a time coming. I mean, look, I'm here to warn the enemy. That's a day coming. What day it is, I don't know. But that's a day coming. Because the one that rides the white horse, and you riding with him. We used to sing that song. He's riding a white horse all across the land. My boy, he's going to rule. And is he going to rule? What a day that's going to be. So this is what white looks like. Not this Levon white, because we even know this is not the first time. I'm going to make a little prophecy right here. We're going to see his name come up again where he works the same old tricks. I'm so glad we've been through this already. Oh, boy. So let's go back to Genesis. And it came to be, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rivka saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man and saw him standing by the camels at the fountain. And he said, now here we go, come in, O blessed of Jehovah. Why do you stand outside? I myself have prepared the house and a place for the camel. Liar. He ain't prepared nothing. He saw that pew, he bolted. What do you mean he prepared the house? Rivka just told the man, we got everything for you. We have boat room. But you can see that how that white, how it's really off-white. It's not really white like Yeshua white. Because we know that he prepared the house. Well, let's keep reading. So the man came into the house while he unloaded the camels and provided straw and fodder for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Now, can you imagine him out there offloading the camels? 10 camels loaded with stuff. You think his eyes are not locked in on the stuff? Yeah, he's white all right. He's white, but he ain't all right. Yeah, he might sound all right. He might look all right, but inside, look at the master say, he's full of hypocrisy and dead man bone. And if we think we can act white like this and get away with it, we're mistaken. That's what it's telling us. At least that's when I'm sitting down in my time, that's what I'm saying. You don't act that way. In Yaakov chapter 2. I know we had this already, but we gotta read the whole, not say the whole thing, but we have to read some good key elements here that is teaching us. It says, my brothers, do not hold the belief of our master Yeshua Messiah, the master of esteem, with partiality. If you're gonna be a judge, judge the whole matter righteously, not partiality, not hear what you, not, this is not selective hearing. For if there should come into your meeting place a man with gold rings in a splendid robe, and there should also come in a poor one dressed in rags, and you pay attention to the one wearing the splendid robe and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor one, you stand here, you stand there, or sit here by my feet. Don't act white. You have discriminated among yourselves and become judges with wicked thoughts. It's a good principle for us to learn. This is a very important section that I thought it was in the Torah portion. Because look, we don't want to get this Levon white. We have to get that off of us. If we're going to represent him, let's represent him well. Inside and outside these doors. Look, you're being examined. So we don't want to discriminate and have wicked thoughts. Listen, my brothers, my beloved brothers, has Elohim not chosen the poor of this world, rich in belief, and heirs of the reign which he promised to those who love him? Doesn't he have a promise that we hold on to? He made an oath with us. That's what we read time and time, every week. He made an oath. He ain't going back on his word, so we shouldn't go back on ours either. Matter of fact, you're all under the guillotine, because we all made an oath to him. This is why we're here tonight. So this is just a reminder. But you have shown disrespect toward the poor man. This is something James, he's wanting us to learn. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Don't. Yeah. This is what happens. Do they not blaspheme that good name by which you are called? This is what happens. If we deviate from his word, you might get called white. Right? That's one thing I've never been called. I ain't got to worry about that. Sometimes the humor of it can make you laugh at times and stuff, but it's dead serious. You got to just think about it. You know, let the word just minister to you. Do they not blaspheme that good name? What good name? Not my name. I'm here to represent him. So it's his good name that's on the lines. I can't afford to squander all of my master's goods that he entrusted us to. That's what he did for you and I. Because it's not Eleazar entrusted with all his master's goods? We read that. So we're doing the same thing. In our time today, he's entrusted us with his goods, by which you are called. If you truly accomplish the sovereign law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. That's he's giving us a place to start with your neighbor first. That's it. And sometimes our neighbor can be the hardest one. Because look, in life we get some rough neighbors. Some neighbors are good neighbors. My wife always said, put a fence make good neighbors. So as she told me that since day one. Fences make good neighbors. So I don't think a fence could be the answer. What the answer? It's showing humility, showing humble, knowing how to speak, how to act. Well, whoever, but if you show partiality, verse 9, you commit sin, point blank, being found guilty by the Torah as transgressors. Now, we can't afford to be that way. I can't afford to do that. We can't show partiality. We have to show equalness across the board to everyone. We used to do that. It's not who we are anymore. You know, now we're going to get to the statement right here. Just something that came to me as I was reading it. For whoever shall guard all the Torah, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the Torah. That is a statement where I've heard for years. You break one law, you break them all. One command, you broke them all. Yeah, no. If you deliberately break his laws, that's a difference. That's the difference between Yah's laws and man's laws. Now, he does tell us, obey the laws of the land. Because why? There's consequences. He didn't make the laws. He's just telling you, obey them, because there's consequences behind that for your action. Besides, it might make you look bad at times. And by the way, let me just clear the air on something for us boaters. I stopped and looked at that sign today. It just says, no wake. It's not an enforced ordinance. It was, so just so we know, I want to be clear about it. But just stuff like that can throw people off. You know, so that's why it's important to pay attention. I was glad for the update. I didn't know about that. But if you deliberately break his law, that's an issue. When you know to do right, that's the thing. That's where the trouble comes in. Because you're going against him. Your fight is not with me. Your fight is with him. So this is what they're saying. Because when you say, well, I don't commit adultery, but you murder, you're a transgressor. Then if you can commit adultery, you can murder. So if you can break his law deliberately, what else would you break? That's what the scripture says. So sometimes we got to slow down, just read slowly, and we have to be cautious as followers, believers, because these fiery darts don't stop because we come to Faith Temple. I can tell you, the enemy's watching. He's waiting just a little crack into a little leaven. That's all he's asking, just a little bit. That's all he's asking for. So speak and so do as those who are judged by a Torah of freedom. And for the judgment is without compassion to the one who has shown no compassion. And compassion boasts over judgment. Now we've learned that he had to show compassion on us because we were oblivious to the Torah. But now that we know and we've been going through it every year, every week, we have no excuses. So, and what is the first thing he wants to teach us with? Shabbat. When you go to his word, you go to Leviticus 23. He goes to the feast day, but the first thing is taught Shabbat. That was free. That didn't cost y'all nothing. back to Bereshit. And so the man came into the house while he unloaded the camels. I could imagine that, what was going on there. What is that? Oh my, look at all these fancy clothes. I can imagine what was going through his mind. While he unloaded the camel, provided straw and fodder for the camel and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him, and set food before him to eat. But he said, see that there's these personal pronouns, but he said, let me not eat until I have spoken my word. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. Right off the bat, I'm not just any servant. And when you come here, who are you? I'm a servant of Yeshua. We ain't just any servant. He's just making it clear right off the bat, I'm Abraham's servant. Y'all know who Abraham is. And Yehovah has blessed my master exceedingly. And he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. He has given to him all that he has. Well, I can imagine Levon's ears are just, it's music. He's not even hearing the words. His ears are just ringing. You can imagine. And my master made me swear, saying, see how you had to pay attention? That's why I tried to catch y'all. I'm telling you, it was a trick. But boy, y'all good. Y'all slick me tonight. Do not take a wife for my sons from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, what if the woman does not follow me? But he said to me, Yehovah, before whom I walk, sends his messengers with you and shall prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then, when you go to my relatives, you are to be released from this oath. And if they do not give her to you, then you are released from my oath. Now, we got to be careful in translation. Now, we don't want to just read into the scripture. You know, when you say like his oath and my oath, it makes you want to sound like there's two oaths. That's one Torah. This is what we have to be careful. Read slow. And you just gave one set of commands. If the woman don't want to go with you, you're free from his oath. You can back up and go right back and look at it. But I had to double check that just to make sure. I'm careful. He said, then you release from my oath. And this day I came to the fountain and said, Yehovah Elohim of my master Abraham, please, if you are prospering the way in which I am going, see, I am standing here by the fountain of water. And when the young woman comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your jar to drink. And she says to me, drink, and let me draw water, and let me draw for your camels too. Let her be the woman whom Yehovah has appointed for my master's son. I had not yet ended speaking in my heart. Then see, Rivka was coming out with her jar on her shoulder. And she went down to the fountain and drew water. That's what I was saying about that verse, that scripture before that, when we let out with how we need to go and draw water to the fountain. How that's so important. That stuck out to me. I may have met to you, but to me, some things just grab a hold of me when I'm reading it. And this was one of the verses I thought. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she hurried and let her jar down from her shoulder and said, drink, and let me water your camels too. So I drank. And she watered the camels too. Now we learned that last week. That was a lot of watering she did. She had to be fit for her job. And what is he doing? Being quiet and watching all this unfold. Watching the hand of Yehovah unfold right in front of his eyes. And we've seen that before. I mean, I literally seen it this week. I mean, I was set to work nights. I got fishing trip. I got Brother Chad. I had to vent on him a little bit. I got 4 days of fishing. I got to work night, and then study time. How am I going to get all this in? I had a couple of mishap wiring on my boat. And he talking about I was a nervous Nelly. So now the nights are covered. I don't have to worry about going to work over there. I can focus. Boy, I feel so much better tonight. Oh boy. So literally just seeing the hand of Yehovah just take all these little petty things. Because me, they were petty, but I was a little whiny. Because, man, I was, yeah, and just taxes. I mean, look, there's just so much stuff. Look, the very first night, I could not sleep. I don't know, my wife come to bed, I woke up, and I was like I was hot all night. I couldn't sleep. Man, it's I'm tossing and turning. I don't want to look at the clock, because if you look at the clock, you really don't want to sleep. So I just, now I'm going to rest like a babe tonight. Well, I tell you. Oh boy. So you can see this load that he's carrying. And I'm gonna tell you, I carried that for a couple of days. I was just you get sidetracked. And I asked her, and whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelet on her wrist. So maybe we can look at that. I don't know. And I bowed my head and worship Yehovah and bless Yehovah, Elohim of my master Abraham, who has led me in the way, in the true way. I had to read that a couple times. In the true way. How many of you know there's another way out there, but it's not right? We have to know the true way. Because Yeshua makes reference. There's a way that seems right. It looks good. It looks white. It looks like a good way. He said, but the end is death. The inside of it. This screamed out to me big time. Because we have to know the true way. To take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. He was on a serious mission. What do you know, like I said, we have to read it slowly and ask for fresh eyes when we read it. Because I many times I read it, I kind of missed the true way. I was just reading through it. I said, let me through it. But when I finally sat down and read it this morning early, and I took my iPad on the boat with me, and I read it a couple times in the boat, and I was like, man, I missed the true way. So I'm glad I caught that. Because I wanted to push that out to y'all tonight. There is a true way, and it's called Torah. And now, if you are going to show loving commitment and truth to my master, and let me know. And if not, let me know so that I turn to the right or to the left. I want to get this load off of me. So let me know if y'all going to do right. Show me loving commitment to my master, to Abraham. And what does that tell us? We have to show loving commitment to our master. Because look, we've been waiting a long time to see him. And there's a load we've been carrying for years. And look, some of us may not see that day when it comes. But when it does come, you hit a pa-pop, and then you'll see it. That's our hope. That's our expectation. What else is out there? There is no other way. There's another way, but it leads to death. The scripture warns us about that. It warns us about this true way that we need to know. And I'm so thankful we're on this road. Oh my. I said, like, Brother Rod, I'll give you the fleece on. Let me know. I'll turn to the right or left. Look, I'll be free from those. Look, the pressure's on. When you're entrusted to all these goods from his mouth to Abraham, you're taking a journey, a good, for what I can find, at least 60 miles, 3 days, 4 days journey. So hey, look, there's robbers, there's thieves. That's out there in the world today. You entrusted with his goods. Look, they can be stolen from you. The enemy can steal your joy. He's tried to rob you. He's trying to steal, he's trying to bring you down to the lowest, in the state where you were before, in your blood. But I'm so thankful that he passed by you and he saw you and he put his skirt over you and I. That stuff will preach for, I'm telling you. And Laban answered Bethuel too and said, the matter comes from Yehovah. We are not able to speak to you either evil or good, ra or tov. Now, this is the last time we're going to see Bethuel in this chapter. And what I found, I'm just telling you the stuff that's out there, because you're going to see in the next couple of verses we're going to get to, that when he gives the gifts, he gives to Levon, and he gives to his her mother. Now, I tried to find Rivka's mother's name. Why is it not mentioned? I don't know. But Bethuel, what I found, and reason why he doesn't seem like he's actively engaged of this what's happened, or maybe he's mad because he see the nobility, he knows what's happened about to lose his daughter. So in some of my studies, it said that, did I give y'all his name? I didn't give y'all his name. I knew I missed something. Thank you, Father. Bethuel is H1328. It says, God destroys, or man of God, or dweller in God. And Milcah means queen, H4435. Now that God destroys, I thought about it because it said in the stories or the sages or the town, whatever you read, that Jehovah struck him because he tried to poison the men that came, Eleazar and his entourage that was with him. That's the stuff that's out there that you read. Quite a few of them lean heavily to that. That's why the last time you're going to read about him, that he don't receive any gifts. So did that happen? Did God destroy him? That's what part of his name means? I don't know. You just have to take it with a pinch of salt, I guess, however that goes. So I thought that was a little interesting in reading about Bethuel. And I don't know. He doesn't say he was a sickly man. I couldn't. Nobody exactly knows. So anyway, you'll get the point of what I'm saying. And Levon answered Bethuel too and said, "The matter comes from Jehovah. We are not able to speak to you either evil or good. See, Rivka is before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as Jehovah has spoken." And it came to be, when Abraham's servant heard their word, that he bowed himself toward the earth before Jehovah. And the servant brought out ornaments of silver, and ornaments of gold, and garments, and gave them to Rivka. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Why not the daddy? So, whatever happened, the scripture doesn't tell us everything. And I'm not going here to try to make up a story. I'm just telling you what's out there, just sharing. So I don't have any answers when it comes to him. But this is what's in the scripture. And this is what's out there if you want to go look on your own personal time. But you see how he comes with the gift. The master servant comes with gifts. And he ordains, I mean, he's not ordained, he gives to the family. Can you imagine the gifts that he's going to give to you when he returns? What he has, he said he has a crown waiting to give to you. A splendid robe that you'll be robed in white. Man, what a day that's going to be. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, "Let me go to my master." I'm telling you, he was ready to go back home. But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10, then you go." There's the hand of Jehovah needs to step in again. Because about why 10? We talked about that last week in verse 10. And he takes 10 of his master's camels. It just fits. It's like it's a glove that just fits perfectly. But 10 days, he said to them, "Do not delay me. Look, I got to get this woman back. You don't understand. I'm on a mission. I'm commissioned by Abraham, by the hand of Jehovah. I got a job to do." And that's how I look at it every week. And I come in, I have a job to do. We're commissioned. And like I said, man, is it challenging? Very challenging. Look, and I accept it. I said, yeah. You heard me say it before. It started with just Bible study. And I said, yeah. So I feel like this is a promotion. Look, today, them guys in the barge, went there to work today and got to meet all the guys out there. And they brought me a handheld radio. And all the guys are sitting there working, they busting nuts and bolts. I walked by them, I said, well, look at this. I bought my first day on the job. I got a radio. I said, I feel important. I just passed by. So it was a laughing matter. But Mary, I tell you, Yah's been good. And he said to them, do not delay me, since Yehovah has prospered my way. Let me go so that I go to my master. And one of these days, I came with it, let me go to my master. And they said, let us call the young woman and ask her. And they called Rivka and said to her, are you going with this man? And she said, I shall go. That should be our message today. I shall go. Does it matter where he leads you? No, he's leading you. Just go. Don't worry what's out there. He gives us so much scripture. Look, we can tie this in so many ways in scripture that we can look at and build on the foundation that's been laid. This goes all over in the Bible. If we want to find verses to connect that to. But our simple answer, I shall go. Remember, we got this famous statement. I said it and I was reminded a while back. Though none go with me, still I follow. Because why? I've been down that old road before. I've been down that way that I thought was true. But it wasn't true. It just brought me further and further into pain and death and misery. And then you get so far, it takes him to get you back. His mercy, his loving commitment, that skirt to come over and cover you. Because why? We were drowning in our own blood. It was so important. That's why it brought me to that verse of scripture. But when I got to verse 15, and from 15 down to, it's a pretty lengthy chapter in Ezekiel. From 15 to 63, it's heartbreaking. That why would I want to go back? Why would I want to turn? Why would you want to go back in Mitzrayim and bondage and in slavery? But that's what the world does. It's designed to keep you there and destroy you if it can. And the enemy is good at his job. I'm telling you, he's very good at it. He's crafty. The Bible tells about it. He goes by the roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Look, and if he can use you, he'll use you. And that's what it is. He'll use you. And when he's done with you, kick you to the curb. So they let go Rivka, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Now we had this. This is where our brothers got in the other night. Pastor, he was trying to, Brother Rob, I'm telling you, he was trying to close the service before we missed all this stuff in between. Him and Brother Chan tried to be a little slick, but hey, man, we sometimes you got to watch them, boy. They were trying to go straight to chapter 25 when we got here tonight. But this is what we see, her nurse. This is her nurse that been watching over her since the day she was born. And her name is Deborah. It means bee. It's age 1683. I know she had a name in there. I said, well, let me see if they tell her name. But she's been there as a time she was born. Her nursing nurse. Man. And they blessed Rivka and said to her, let our sister become the mother of thousands of 10,000s. Hence, here we are today. I believe we're part of that. And let your seed possess the gates of those who hate them. Lord, there's a lot of people out here that don't like what we're doing tonight. It's just what it's going to be. What should be our posture? Levon White or Yeshua White? That's our posture. And Rivka and her young women arose. So it wasn't just her nurse. Apparently she had other followers with her, because woman is one, women is more than one, right? Thank you. And they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rivka and left. And Itzhak came from the way of Beer Haleroy, the fountain, the well who sees, for he dwelt in the south. Now it was said at this point, because we talked about chapter 25 a little bit, how he takes Keturah. And I was just kind of breathing through it just to see what's out there. And as we're at this point where he coming from the south, apparently he brings, this is what he said, he brings Keturah with him for Abraham because he knows that Abraham is grieving. So, look, go look for yourself. That's all I can say. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. That's time when I've been out walking about my garden and looking. Thank you, Father, because my wife, you know, we did a work in our garden. We till, we sow, we plant. You know, he had to give the increase. We water, but only he can give the increase. And I'll tell you, our little garden is looking beautiful. And we pray, yeah, of course, you have to. But, and he gives the increase. Because without him, we don't possess life in ourselves. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. He lifted his eyes and looked and saw the camels coming. Now, every time I read that, I think of a song I heard Jimmy Swaggart sing years ago, "The Camel Train Coming." I don't know if you ever heard it. You can go look at one of his messages. He sings a song when Yitzhak saw the camel train coming. So I thought that was every time I read that. And Rivka lifted her eyes, and when she saw Yitzhak, she dismounted from her camel. And she said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" Why? Because the king's in the field. And we know in the month of Elul, the king's in the field. And we experienced that, and that's going to come again. And the servant said, "It is my master." Wow. And she took a veil and covered herself. Now, you know there's going to come a time we doesn't going to need no need for the veil. Right now, we might be seeing through a glass dimly, but one day, face to face, the veil will be removed. And boy, you'll see him, sovereign of sovereign and master of master, the one we've been waiting for all our lives, that you have been waiting for years. Some of you are twice my age. Y'all been waiting for years. Well, not twice my age, but twice the time I've been here. My bad. Y'all know what I mean. I'm excited. And his servant, and so she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Yitzhak all the matters he had done. And Yitzhak brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rivka, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And thus Yitzhak was comforted after his mother's death. And this is another thing we talked about. And what a time in Yitzhak's life, 40 years old, and he has a wife, and I believe she was beautiful. And that's, it goes to show a good picture of a bride. And never seen. We got a husband we've never seen. And one day we're going to see our husband. And what a day. We can only imagine when that day and that time will come. So we just closed out 24. Thank you, Father. Oh, it's been a great week. And I enjoy the challenge week after week. And coming up after tomorrow, next Shabbat, we'll be in Toldot. So I got to get the slide on that. So, amen. That's all I have tonight. It's just sometimes, man, when you look into it, it's beautiful. It really is. When you look into his word, but we have to just want to spend time with him. That's all he's asking. He's not asking for all our time. Because I only sit there, I might get a good hour and a half sometime, maybe two, it depends what time I get up. But it's just that quality time, set apart time. Just me, him, coffee, and a dog. And I tell you, it's beautiful.